Meanwhile, the actor Jennifer Aniston has spoken candidly about her struggle to have children in a recent magazine interview. The 53-year-old, who's best known for playing Rachel in Friends, said she privately went through a difficult time in her late 30s and 40s. She said, "I was trying to get pregnant. It was a challenging road for me, the baby-making road. All the years and years of speculation, it was really hard. I was going through IVF, drinking Chinese teas, you name it." Miss Aniston says she wishes someone had told her to freeze her eggs when she was a teenager, but she claims she has no regrets now. As she puts it, the ship has sailed. Now, in the UK, 18% of women reach the age of 45 without having children, according to the latest data from the Office for National Statistics. So Jennifer Aniston is by no means alone. Of course, some of those women will be child-free by choice. That may have been your choice. Others will have longed for a baby, and it just wasn't to be. Maybe you are somebody who could relate to this totally. And do you remember there was a particular moment, the sort of Aniston moment, where you think, yup, the ship has sailed? And I don't know if that makes it easier or harder to deal with. But if you'd like to share it with us, do email your comment and your phone number to vine@bbc.co.uk. You can also WhatsApp and text us. Let's talk to Jodie Day, who's founder of Gateway Women, a support network for childless women. And she's also written a book called Living the Life Unexpected. And I suppose the point about the title is that we don't, our lives are not always the lives we've drawn out, you know, in our younger years.
I'm not sure anyone's life turns out exactly as they expect, but certainly when you've put many years and many years of trying and hoping and thinking you're going to be a mum, it is a huge shock when your ship sails.
And tell us about your story. You were married pretty young the first time.
Yes, I got married at 26. I can't believe that now. I thought I was very grown up at the time. And actually, within my circle of friends, my then husband and I were sort of the first to get married. And we started trying when I was 29, so, you know, reasonably young, but nothing worked. And a few years later, I had an operation to check that everything was okay. We were given an absolutely clean bill of health. We both checked out fine on all of the tests. So the only advice I was given by the gynecologist was, "You lovely young people, go away and have lots more sex." So
keep
we
trying,
did
in other words,
and we carried on, and I went to see sort of every type of an alternative practitioner in London, sort of acupuncturists and everything, changed my diet, did all of the things, but even stood on my head after sex, which you believe is quite common, it didn't work out, and we spent 11 years trying, and our marriage really, really suffered as a result, and it broke down sort of when I was 37, just as we were about to consider going down the IVF route.
And I don't know whether you then had a subsequent relationship or marriage, but it, of course, what happens to a lot of people is that at the very moment when maybe they're about to think this is it for kids and they're going to try and have them, the relationship isn't there.
Absolutely. For me, I thought I still had time to meet someone and do IVF. I really didn't know anything about it because I got all of my information from the media and from celebrities that it always works. I thought it was like a silver bullet. I thought that's my backup plan. Absolutely not true. The most likely outcome of IVF is childlessness, I now know. So I did have two relationships post-divorce in my early 40s, and it was actually when the second one of those came to a crashing end when I was 44 that I had my ship has sailed moment, and I realized, okay, this is it. I knew enough about IVF by then to know that at 44 and a half, it was extremely unlikely to work. I didn't know that actually it had a 96% failure rate at that age. Wow. And that I, you know, donor eggs were not an option for me. I was single, divorced, self-employed, didn't own my own home, had no savings. Neither going it alone nor adopting on my own was an option. In fact, if I said to someone I was thinking of getting a dog, they'd say, "Well, who's going to look after it in the daytime?" Yet people used to feel they could say to me, "Why don't you just have one on your own?"
So you didn't, but you sounds like you had at this point at 44 and a half, you have your practical head on and you're thinking, look, even if there was a way, it would present so many challenges, it's not possible.
I had exhausted all of the ways at that point. You know, there was like, no, this is game over. I am not going to be a mum in this lifetime. And it was absolutely heartbreaking.
Right, because you were definite about it, and therefore you need to almost walk through a door into a different life. Is that right?
You do, and the door is called grief, but I didn't know it was grief. I went to see, you know, therapists and specialists and doctors, and Dr. Google, of course, you know, because I just couldn't seem to come to terms with it. And it wasn't actually until I was in my second year of my training to become a psychotherapist, and we were working around bereavement issues, that I realized, I thought, hang on a minute, this sounds awfully familiar. And I went home from my training that day and sort of mapped out what I was learning against what I was experiencing around my childlessness, and realized I was grieving. And to this day, a lot of therapists don't understand that childlessness is a form of something called disenfranchised grief. And a lot of people find out about it, first of all, through my work. And that was a breakthrough for me, because I knew that somehow one day I was going to come out the other end of this process. I would be okay again.
And do you still, though, have a pang? And I'm thinking, what are the hard, if you know, one was living on the moon and you didn't have to see other people around, that's one thing. But of course, you have to go walk past the playground. You have to hear your friends probably don't want to say this, but their daughter's just graduated and she got a 2-1, and all kinds of things must come up.
Absolutely. It's a living, lifelong loss. I'm never going to not be childless. You know, I'm not going to be a grandmother. I'm not going to have adult children. I'm going to be aging without children. You know, there are a lot of things that come with having children that I won't have. Not that it's always a walk in the park. You know, I'm very supportive of the struggles of parenthood too. But I think once you do your grief work, once you find other women and men, because a lot of men are childless too, about the same number as women, once you can actually come through your grieving process, it does heal a lot of those wounds. And although, yes, I still get pangs, they don't sort of completely floor me like they used to. And I'm able to be around children and be around families and actually enjoy the life unexpected. The one that I didn't choose, it chose me. Mm. And I found a way to make that work for me. And that's what my book does. It helps other people make that journey too.
Do people still say the wrong thing, ask the wrong question?
Absolutely. It seems it's kind of baked in. And I mean, in my TED talk, I talk about them. We call them bingos, because on a really bad day, you can get a full house. You know, why didn't you just adopt? Children aren't all there cracked up to be. Why don't you have one of mine? Oh, you're so lucky. You can sleep in and travel. These can come from, you know, extraordinarily empathetic people on other topics. But on the topic of being childless or child free, people are a bit clueless.
I'm just waiting. So I'm not sure what age you are now. You're late 40s, I'm guessing.
No, I'm late 50s now.
Oh, okay.
I call myself an apprentice crone.
We're roughly the same age. But one of the things I would assume that might make it even harder is the hope. Because we now, I mean, I can't even believe this, but we see stories of people who are 60 or 58. And these are mums who've had IVF and whatever. And they've had it really late in life.
It's actually kind of heartbreaking when I read those stories, because like you, I think of all the years leading up to that point. Because in a way, hope is actually the most toxic fertility drug. Because actually, it's when you give up hope, which is an awful feeling, that is the moment you start grieving. And grieving is the way out of the pain. It may feel like the pain, but it's actually the route out. I also have an issue with the ethics for that child of having a parent of that age. I mean, it's a difficult thing to talk about, but it's a complex issue.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. Really appreciate your thoughts. Jodi Day, founder of Gateway Women. That's a support network for childless women. And Jodi has written the book Living the Life Unexpected, How to Find Hope, Meaning and a Fulfilling Future Without Children. That's what we're discussing. You may be thinking that's exactly the journey that you've been on. So we'd love to hear from you.